Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hey listeners, it's Trish Hammond here from Transforming Bodies, and today I'm joined with the delightful Tina Viney. Now, Tina is actually our president or the founder of APAM, which is the Australian Practitioner Advisory Network. And honestly, I've met Tina a few years ago, and APAN just doesn't, you know, like so many more people need to know about APAN and what it can do to help practitioners, customers, the whole lot. So I've invited Tina along today to give us a bit of a rundown of APAN and what it does and the exciting initiatives that they got going at the moment. So welcome, Tina.
Oh, thank you, Trish. Okay, so what would you like me to start with first?
Well, I was going to actually ask you to start. First of all, give us a bit of, like, you've been in the industry like forever, and how did APAN start?
Oh, okay. Well, I was with an association for like 20 years or so, and I was on there at National Executive. I was president for two three-year terms. So my experience was, I really found my niche in the area of standards and regulations and really helping bring intelligence to the aesthetic profession, especially skin and age management side of things. And it came to a point where I had resigned from that organisation, and I felt the need to move and support my business, because I mean, it, you know, associates just chew up all your time. And however, the industry approached me, and quite a few people said, come on, we want you to re-establish something. So I decided to set up the Aesthetic Practitioners Advisory Network as a standards body association that is not necessarily a not-for-profit, which gives me a little bit more flexibility to move more quickly and develop things. Whereas when you've got a board that is comprised of all different people that have come onto it, sometimes the movement forward and the resolutions take a long time. So to me, it was a better format for me to be able to continue to innovate and help the industry get stronger.
Yeah, that's so true. Sometimes, like, everything gets caught up with the red tape, and you've got to wait for this. Whereas, just by doing it the way you've done it, you've been able to be a little bit more, I guess, a bit more free in a way.
I guess yes, you have flexibility. I think because I've got quite a few years of experience, I know what works and what doesn't, and I've learned from the school of hard knocks. So when I find a strategy, I like to move fast. Mm-hmm. And it's not always possible when you've got the traditional structure. So mm-hmm. to me, it gave, I was, and the truth is, I have been able to achieve a lot more. I've got an advisory board, but I don't have a board that bogs me down. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been a good thing for me.
Yeah. So tell me, for people that work in the aesthetics industry or own businesses or whatever, how does APAN support them? Because, like, I've heard you've told me hundreds of stories of, you know, mm-hmm. where, you know, you've helped businesses. But can you just kind of share that with people? Because not enough people, I believe, not enough people know about APAN. So mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about how businesses and people that are in aesthetics can actually benefit from being involved with APAN?
Well, the key thing is, what is your need? And the needs that businesses have is to make sure that, especially in these times with COVID, they want to make sure from a regulatory perspective that they're doing things correctly, that they are meeting their requirements. And if they're, so basically we take care, we've got 48 documents that we can help you with to establish your consent forms, your policies and procedures, your HR documents, your cancellation policies, privacy policies, all those documents that can help streamline your operations. It operates effectively and within the guidelines of what is required regulatory wise, but also especially people that have staff, we are very, very good because we provide legal advice, HR advice, and we can help with the contracts that you need to have in place. And really, like, for example, our HR document costs about $1,800 for a lawyer to draft. It's 43 pages. You can buy it for $290, I think. So basically, you own the template. So we save you a lot of money. We also work with strategic partners, like, for instance, business providers in banks, insurance companies, where we can get discounts for you. One of the services is that your trainings, I actually referred somebody to you, I think a couple of days ago. She said, I want to do my own Facebook, and my own Instagram. And I thought, I know exactly who you should go to. So I referred her to you. So basically,
like a matchmaking service for the business, isn't it, really?
Well, the issue is people present their problems, and what they want us is to screen companies that are actually credible and also are responsible. So they're not going to, and a lot of mistakes happen with people just going by advertising, and then maybe especially with equipment purchases, where a company may not have all their ducks in a row and fail, and then your heavy investment can go wrong and you don't get the support you need.
Yes, of course.
Standards, I think, have become very much the center point now, where people want ethics. They want to know, they want their consumer to know that they care for them, that they have the right safety precautions in place, that they are responsible, they're knowledgeable, they are the expert that they should be referring to, but also that businesses, because there's changes happening all the time, they rely on us to feed them with the right advice that's evidence-based. And that's a very important issue, because there's lots of advice and stuff happening out there. But what we try to do is look at things that have good research backing. So what we give you a direction, we try as much as possible, if there is solid studies behind that move, that's a guaranteed direction, that is a pillar that you can stand on and know you can make a decision based on some really good research that's backed it up. It gives you confidence at a time like this. So really, we're like your place you turn to if you have needs. Now, we can't stop people going to social media, and there's a place for that as well. But I think some of the more serious areas, such as regulatory issues and credibility of companies that need to be examined, I think that's the area where our expertise and our support can be invaluable, because it helps streamline things and minimize the potential of things going wrong, because when they do, they can be very, very disturbing and very costly. I mean, I've seen businesses that say, I'm going to pack up, I can't take this because something went wrong, and they didn't have the right structure in place, so they just fell and crashed. And that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah. And you know what? And it's really like, everybody needs to have an advocate, and really, you're the advocate that actually defends the needs, you know, of people in this, well, the aesthetics industry in general, not even just the people in it, but just the aesthetics industry in general. Like, because, like, even for example, let's talk about what was happening in Melbourne. Like, I know that there's some great achievements that APAN have actually helped, you know, with regards to what's going on in Melbourne at the moment with COVID. Can you give us a bit of light on that?
Yeah. Okay, COVID has caused a lot of grief. Collectively, it's about 8 months. Now, some businesses have weathered the storm and others are totally disillusioned. They are falling apart. They are in financial ruin. They are totally distraught. And so what we've done this week, we launched the Victorian Salon Recovery Project. So the Recovery Project is going to have its own website, and we've got a 5-step plan. So the first plan, because we're dealing with government to try and get that second, the client to remove their mask, because the problem with a lot of people that are doing skin treatments, the directive at the moment is providing both parties are wearing masks. Well, how can you do a treatment on a face if the client's wearing a mask? Mm-hmm. So that is pretty much stripping at least 80% to 90% of their business revenue. And there's talk that this could go on until December, which is devastating. So we've had a lot of very desperate people. I had Pauline Gusasian, I think her surname is, bless her heart. She's a very strong advocate. And she said, please, Tina, do something more, do something more. We're talking with the government. We're talking with Daniel Andrews' office. We're talking with Dr. Martin Foley, who is the Minister of Health, Georgia Grosvenor, who is Deputy Leader of Opposition in the Legislative Council. And she is a strong supporter of us. Also, Dr. Matthew Bach, who is really advocating a lot at this Legislative Council, supporting the salon industry. Karen Andrews is federal, but we are approaching her. So our approach with government is very strategic. At the moment, they get irritated very easily because everyone's attacking them. So you have to be very cautious how you talk to them, but you've got to provide them with evidence and facts. So the first thing we're doing with the Victorian Salon Recovery Project is today we're putting out a poll. What we want people to tell us up until the 12th of this month is how the second mask is affecting them and to what extent is it going to hinder them to be able to operate and how it's impacting them financially. And I think the second question covers whether they are already in bankruptcy or they're heading towards bankruptcy, so that we can develop some evidence-based information that we can take to the government. Number one plan is to get rid of that that mask. If we can achieve that, it's not going to be easy, but we have a strategic plan. I think we strongly believe that if the polls indicate and give us specifics of how this current restriction is compromising it's compromising business, I think the evidence of the figures will be able to be a good weapon for us to take to the government. So that's the first thing we want. Secondly, and I don't know that I can't really go through all the program because it's quite extensive.
Of course.
But the second plan we want to do is once we get that mask sorted out, we want to go to media, and we've got quite a strong media network of reporters and journalists and so forth. And we want to tell the media to please, as part of Victorian Salon Recovery Project, to tell everybody, please, please, prioritise to go and see a salon or clinic near you. Support them, because right now more support in order to recover. So get your Christmas presents from them. Try a new treatment. Get some gifts. Look at ways that you can get, because I find the community really wants to help businesses. And I know when we had the first lockdown, after the first lockdown, everybody rushed. And I think if we can get the media to really point the fact that right now these businesses have been out of circulation for 8 months and it's been financially detrimental, would they please, please support? Now, I think we'll get quite a bit of support with that. I don't know that you want me to cover the others, but one other one that I want to bring up is the third strategy is about getting industry bodies to provide discounts. For example, suppliers, I want to offer them the opportunity to maybe discount, say, 5% for November and December purchases. I'm going to business coaches to ask if they'll give half an hour business coaching to businesses to help them develop the step that they need to do next. And we're happy to give this free service in that area as well. But I got a wonderful little letter from my lawyer, which I want to read to you, and then I'll move on from there. So basically he said, our law firm is based in Victoria and they have 40 lawyers. So it's a really strong company. Mm-hmm. And he says, APAN has been a long-standing relationship with Point and Partner Lawyers in Melbourne, and we are pleased to be recommended to their members. Point and Partner is able to provide advice and assist for those salons in Victoria who have been affected by the lockdown and wish to negotiate rent relief. They're very, very good at apparently there's some laws. So if you've got a problem with your landlord, please, ring them. Now they're giving us 15-minute free consultation, and what they're very, very good at is sitting and negotiating with your landlord and looking at what the new legislation says, because landlords have to be very compassionate towards the their tenants, so they can't be heavy-handed. So if you've got that problem, please reach out to Point and Partners. If there's going to be extensive service and you're going to have to engage them, they're offering APAN members 15% discount for all this. And the other thing that they also said, they are also happy to be able to negotiate with other parties such as your financiers or suppliers on your behalf. So if you've got, you're paying an piece of equipment, you've got problems and you're having the cold shoulder, Point and Partners, they're brilliant. They're very, very, and they've had success every time to work out a strategy that can create some leniency and allows the negotiation to be a little bit more fair and equitable. And having legal support at this time, I think, is incredible. I'm really, really thrilled that they have stepped up. They're the first ones that have come back and said, we will definitely help you. So what I want to do is get as many companies that are prepared to give. You know, you can say, I can give 3, I can give 10. Obviously you can't give indefinite amounts of time. But if everybody chipped in a little bit, I think the industry will feel a sense of hope that they have the ammunition and they've got strategic support to be able to navigate these difficult times. So I'm not going into the others, but there's 5 of them. They're really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know that things in the industry cost a lot of money, but the membership tiers that APAN offers are just so inexpensive. Do you want to just give us a little bit of a rundown, or even if you just talk about one, not even what, 8 coffees a month? A month.
Well, the thing is that, our fees, they're like an associate member, someone who's a sole practitioner and that work for themselves, or is just an employee and they want to stay up to date with their qualifications and present, get industry support and really be up to date with their obligations. That's $395 a year. The gold membership is for someone who's got staff and they can get HR support, ring us up anytime, get help with their documents, put them in place. That, they've got to pay for the documents, but they're very small amounts compared to what they cost to get them legally written. So really that's, in today's world, it's maybe 1 or 2 treatments, and then you've got we have your back, and that's really important, especially when things get a little bit out of hand. The corporate one is for businesses that have over 4 staff and require a lot more hand-holding and also more conflict issues that they wish to resolve. And that one is, I think, $695. At the moment, we have a special. So if you join now, you get the rest of this year for free. And therefore, you don't expire until December 31st next year. So you get a couple of months free. We just released a journal and there'll be a second one coming out. So you get those 2 extra issues at no extra charge. Plus, some businesses are restructuring and they say, I want to wait till I'm ready. But why wait till you're ready? Wait, engage us now, because we can help you with so many different areas. And you can save a lot of money, and it's not going to cost you anything anyway, because you're getting it free this year.
Yep.
So, So and that's people, really...
People can pay monthly too, can't they?
They can. You can pay a small amount per month. You can pay a deposit, but we can work it out to suit individual budget. Yeah. Some people pay just over 3 months and cover the whole lot, and it's not very much. Others will want a little bit more. So the terms of payment is something that's negotiated to suit your reality. It's a tax deduction from the beginning. You get your full kit. You get certificate, code of ethics. You get all the strategic partners, list of all the documents that you can access from us. And anytime you can just pick up the phone or send us an email. We have courses that you can do. We have ARAP and CTAB registration, which looks at your credentials and registry based on your qualifications, and that's a separate registration that is also associated with CPD points. So mm-hmm. we get a lot of nurses that go into that category. We do have doctors as well. So we have medical category, and we also have dental. We're introducing dental as well, the cosmetic mm-hmm. dentists, of course.
Yep.
The thing with our industry now, it's really so much crossover, isn't there?
Oh, it's yeah. so true. You can't, I was just having a think of it today, and I know that there's a clinic opening up that, they are actually open, that they help people, that are having problems sleeping. And then I actually got asked the question, can we get consent forms, to use patients' stories or whatever? And I was like, oh, APAN, perfect. Yes. These guys can help you, even though they're not in the same industry. It's still about well-being, which I think is kind of more, it's
very
kind of like
much.
It's all molding into one.
Yes. The other thing with... We're very supportive of wellness being incorporated into personal care, because really it's all coming together now, and it's a new direction that, that research is telling us. But talking about photography, if you take a shot of your client, you should get a consent form. So we have a legal consent form for taking photographs.
Yeah, absolutely. And videos too, hey?
So yes, of course.
Exactly. And sometimes it's really hard. People don't know where to start. So that's why it's perfect. I mean, it's different if if someone's got a clinic that, has been around for years and, and they may know it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that just because you've been around for years, you may still not be following the rules. At least being part
Absolutely.
Of APAN, you can make sure, you're following the rules. So it's like a little tick box. I love it. I love the idea. I always have. But I want to ask you, so the other thing as well, just going through the different tiers of membership, you're obviously, it's open to, practitioners and businesses. So like estheticians, plastic surgeons, cosmetic doctors, nurses, laser practitioners, cosmetic practitioners, even your spa and salon and beauty therapists, hey.
Well, anyone that feels that they really want to, the documents that we have, if you paid somebody to put them all in place for you, probably be spending about $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah.
What we have is we've had them written legally, and we can also guide you in how you implement them. So really, I think what people get from us is, for example, talking about a doctor understands APRA requirements, but when they're hiring, a beauty therapist or a dermal therapist, they don't quite know, they're outside of APRA, so they want to know, what are our obligations and how do we pay them and, what is their job description? How do we determine their skill set? And also sometimes the doctors are wanting guidance about if they want to introduce body treatments, skin treatments, some of the reputable companies that they can get guided by to make sure, because we have a certain criteria how we select a company. If someone's brand new, we can't really recommend them because they haven't got any proven track record. So we look at the device itself, whether it's correctly registered. We look at your service. We look at your educational program. We look at maintenance. Have you got any warranties for what you've got, what mm-hmm. training programs you are working with? And also generally, is the company fairly reputable in terms of its reputation and its conduct? And because we have to protect the practitioner to make sure she doesn't. I mean, the amount of people that have come to me after the effect and said, I didn't realise they were a crook. And I said, well, if you came to us, you wouldn't have been in that position.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. See, I have to be backed by a lawyer. I've got to be careful what I say. If I give advice and it's wrong, the member can sue me. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I've got to have director's insurance for what advice I've given. I have to make sure that I conduct myself squeaky clean and ethically, but also that, you know, and you, sometimes people fall off the wagon halfway through, you know, you didn't expect them to do the wrong thing. When they started off, they were fine, and then they got bad financial management and, you know, things happen. But as much as possible, we need to screen people. Like, I've had people say, I want to go with this company, and would you vouch for them? And I said, well, you know, they've just launched. I don't know enough about them to say, yes, I'll give you the green light. But I'll give you three other companies that I can vouch for. It's your decision who you go with. Mm-hmm. No one's forcing you, but just be very, very careful. Mm-hmm. Or if you still want to go for them, these are the tick lists that you should ask them.
Yep. And you know what, I think as well, just as, you know, for anyone who, it's always really good to have someone that you can, not only run ideas by, but also the fact that, you know, it's a big space and things change all the time and the regulations change and the rules change. And it's good to have that person, you know, like APAN, that is your ally, that you know that you can call on and find out what the latest things are that are happening in the industry. Like it's sort of almost like having an agony aunt, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, everybody needs someone, because a lot of people are opening up clinics all the time and not necessarily knowing that, you know, all the right things to do. Hey.
Well, the thing is, everything is moving fast. Let's forget COVID. I mean, COVID's really put risks at a big level, but there is so many things changing. Consumer behaviour is changing. The new statistics are showing some pretty major changes that we need to take into consideration as we plan. A lot of businesses are rebranding. Mm-hmm. And they're saying to me, I need to rebrand because I did things a lot more mechanically before. Now I've got to put more heart into it, and my consumers are a little bit more, they're stepping back and checking my motives, and they want to know that I will do the right thing by them, and I'm not just pushing to get my, you know, sales figures up and so forth. So there, mm-hmm. this has been good because a lot of people have had time to reevaluate. The other thing that's been really, really useful is some businesses that during, especially during the lockdown, they found that some of the services they were providing really weren't giving them any return. They were a little bit outdated, so they were able to get rid of them and modernize what they're doing and do some more study and stepping up their, you know, their, for example, one thing everybody's been stepping up on is their digital engagement, you know, or their social media and understanding the dynamics that, but you're an expert in that area, and you know Facebook mm-hmm. rules have changed, haven't they?
Oh, I know, because I lost a page to Facebook, so I know it firsthand.
Yeah, but did you know that they're blocking now a lot of the likes, so you yes. don't get to see them?
Because they're yes, it's pay to play. They're making it more pay to play. It's really yes. funny because social media has now been virtually changed to pay media. You know, it's funny, like the social part is gone, and I think there's some, I mean, there are little techniques and things that you can do, you know, as a business to kind of, you know, still be seen, but it's, you know, it's pay to play these days, you know, there's no doubt about it. You know, that's, you know, the more you invest in money wise, the more you're going to be seen. And that's, you know, that's why you need to make sure.
I just want to ask you something. I know yeah. one thing that with your course, you said that you believe that it's really good for people to be able to manage their own, you know, commute, like especially Instagram, little things that they can do. Mm. Are you finding that's been really appreciated with your training?
Well, look, it's really funny because there's some clinics that cannot manage their own for the simple reason that, you know, it could be a one-man show or two-person or it could be 20 people and they just don't have the resources. But regardless, they need to be involved in some way, shape or form, because you can't just say, right, no worries, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars every month and I just want you to do my social media. It's never going to have the impact of something that's a bit more genuine and a bit more authentic. So even if yeah. someone does manage, you know, your social media, there still needs to be a contribution from, you know, the business or the business owner or the person or the face of the business itself as well. And you're absolutely right. Like not everybody actually, you know, they don't realize what can, you know, what effort does have to go into it, because
Oh my god,
if you do someone's social media, you're on it all the time, especially when it comes to stories, and you've got to
I tell you what, Trish, you deserve every cent you get. I can't believe the amount of work you put into your programs and your engagement. I mean, you are always on the go, and you know, it's a very evolving business, but it's it's quick. Everything's got to be done. You know, you move so fast.
Oh, people want instant.
Yeah, I can say that anyone that, I mean, you're a hard worker, but I tell you what. The level of commitment and activity that you put with into your accounts is second to none.
Thank you, Tina. I'm a bit like a schizophrenic. I go crazy, and then I'm just like, I just die for a few days, and I'm like, da, 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 da. But you're same. You're the same. You can't, like, you are the same, just in a different, you know,
different areas.
Same but different. Exactly. Look, I want to also ask you. Like, I know that you've got a great community of people that are contributors that actually contribute, you know, articles, like even like myself, articles, they contribute stories and all that. Can you tell us a little bit about how, because I know that you've pretty much handpicked everyone. You can't just, you know.
Oh, look, one thing with our journal, that people like it because it's very, very educational. It's information dense. So we have probably about, I think we've got about 18 or 20 categories. So we have business, we've got science, we've got ingredients, we've got technology, we have regulation, we have interaction about member profiling, we have product launches, and we have technology, industry news. We got a scientific news section that's got fairly heavy duty stuff that Terry Everett does, and he has all the latest findings. We've got the aesthetic bulletin that has bits of news that are happening within the industry globally, as well as, I must admit, I am pretty global. I do like to see what the world is up to, because we are really a global community. And then we've got business. At the business profiling, we have a business spotlight area that has covers particularly strategies of solving problems within a business. But you do the column on social media, and that's really good. You give people tips about which way to master that, and you highlight certain areas that they need to consider. And, you know, that it sometimes uncovers their own deficiency, or they're in, you know, and they identify that, you know, I can't master that. Maybe I need to go to somebody. And I've got Deb Farnworth Wood, who's now doing one on business wisdom. And she's...
I love her. I love that woman. She's just a rock star in herself, hey?
She is, isn't she?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, bless her heart. She took over Doug Rose's salon, who had Australian Skin Clinics. He had one salon. And she took it on beginning of the global economic downturn. And can you believe it? She decided to franchise in the middle of the global economic downturn. And she got 60 franchises.
Amazing.
And then sold it for, I don't know, it was worth about 60, 70 million.
Amazing.
I mean, if you can do that during a time like that, I mean, you are a rock star.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. She's amazing.
She's got some good little tips. I said, would you write for me? She said, I'd love to.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited. Oh, the other exciting news is we've got Julia Diana, who's a dentist.
And she's also a therapist. Yes.
And she's going to be my new editor. And she's so good with education. People really, really love her. She's got a strong following. So it's going to bring a bit more clinical stuff to our publication. But thank you also introducing us to Dr. Michael Moulton and Samia.
Dr. Naveen Samia.
Naveen Samia.
Yep.
They're two presidents of different societies. And so they're providing me with articles. I mean, it's really hard. You're getting in between, surgeries. It's a real challenge, but at least I've been able to get stuff from them. So, yeah, it's an interesting world, and it's an evolving world. And, you know, we are really a bridge. And people say, I'm not a dermal, I'm not a nurse, is it okay? And I said, of course you can join. The issue is, as long as you value knowledge and education and standards, we're the right body for you. But if you just want fluffy stuff, then probably we're a little bit over the top for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what, though? I reckon you could appeal to like a beauty therapist working in a salon on her own, as well as a plastic surgeon working in a clinic with six other plastic surgeons. You know what I mean? Like your range is so broad that you can't, like, it doesn't differentiate. Your product or what you produce doesn't differentiate. You know what I mean? It's for the industry in general. So, you know, that's a really good thing. That's amazing. See,
my background is that I did I did business management initially, but I did train in beauty therapy, and I eventually taught for 17 years in an accredited college. So mm-hmm. I kind of done all the different areas. I've done teaching, I've done practice, I've done, and the last 25 years has been all about standards. So I've really been immersed with that. But I'm a real research junkie. If I don't research every morning, 2 or 3 hours, I feel bored.
yeah. See, I'm the same with my social media.
Yeah.
It's funny. So, you know, what floats your boat?
Well, you got to get excited. The only way to fuel your excitement is to learn something new. If you just went rattling the same old stuff, it gets a bit boring after a while. Yeah. You know what I mean? And also there's so many changes happening, and it just makes you far more, there's more enthusiasm if you've discovered something new that you can help people with it. You've got it and they haven't got it yet. So I guess that's the bit that I enjoy, that fuels me, is to look at where, you know, people have a problem, and I'll go home and I'll think, oh, I need to help them. And I'll do my own research. I'll ring back the next day and say, I've got the answer for you.
And so, exactly. Yeah. And it's one of those things where what I love about it is it's people supporting other people all within the same industry. Because sometimes there is a bit of, you know, like fighty, you know, like, you know, whereas it's about everybody coming together and supporting each other. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's what APAN does perfectly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're about, you know, as I said, you know, I look at my success last, like right now I've got things to actually bring in more revenue, and yet I put that aside. I'm working on Victoria, and the whole project with Victoria is work and no revenue. But my conscience makes me feel like I've got to prioritize where the needs are. And, you know, I really care about our members, and I care about their survival. And if I'm not serving them well, then I feel like a hypocrite. So I have to do the right thing.
And you know what? I'm a great believer in what goes around comes around. So even though it's like, you know, it may not mean anything, you know, today, but it will mean something in 2 months' time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think you've got to be motivated by your own values and your own beliefs. And if you have virtue in what you're doing and you do it for the right reasons, people can see who you are. Yes. People said to me, why do you do this? Why do you do it? And I said, because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a simple statement. It's the right thing to do. And yet I've got so many people positively responding to that and said, that is so great. But, you know, that's where, you know, where my passion lies, is to make sure that I solve the problems that other people can't solve. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I can achieve that and help that person get over the hurdle and keep moving forward. You know, you and I would know, we've helped so many companies, like looking at suppliers, for example, achieve success through our wisdom, our guidance, our encouragement, and finding ways to profile them better. You know, I look at companies like Environ. I had a huge impact on their promotion and getting them where they are. And I supported Des Fernandez and, you know, featured a lot of his articles and really gave them a platform in our journal to, you know, show their knowledge, showcase their knowledge. And looking back, you know, it's the legacy you will experience to say, you know, I had a hand in that business's success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. Look, I've got to commend you, like, what a job well done, because you've been going for, I think, 11 years now and, you know, like, well done, because I know it's not easy, especially when people don't, you know, sometimes people don't see the value in things that are probably the most valuable thing they can do. So I totally hear you, sister.
I guess, you know what, Trish? I guess my weakness is I'm very much a behind the scene person.
Yeah.
I'm not really one that loves the limelight. I just like to get things done on set. And that's often, as you said, I'm not well known as much from people that are coming into the whole social scene because I'm not in their face. I'm not physically active personally, if you
yep.
like.
Yep.
And that's probably one of my weaknesses. But my burning desire lies in getting it right behind the scene and where sometimes nobody knows about it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But, you know, that's who I am. And,
no.
Yeah, bless your heart. Thank you for doing this interview.
Oh, I've been dying to do this with you. This has been like a long time coming. time coming. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tina. I really, really appreciate your time.
Appreciate
today. I know you've got a million and one things to do. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah. Thank you
Lovely.
So much. Appreciate
Pleasure.
Your best. Yeah.
And Bye-bye. Listeners, look, if you want to find out about APAN, you can send them an email to info@APANetwork.
APANetwork.com.
And if that all becomes too hard, just DM me or send me an email to info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au and I will put you straight in touch with the network that matters. So thank you so much for joining us today, Tina. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Trish.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners. For more information, visit plasticsurgeryhub.com.au or email info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au. The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.